Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. That's pretty important. Right? So, why is it important? Because we need to eat his flesh and drink his blood so that we have his life in him, in us. Excuse me. So what makes you think that bread and wine are actually solve this issue? There's an old joke that says, I have no problem believing that the bread and wine actually become the body and blood of Jesus. I have a problem believing that little thing is actually bread. Anyway. Scripture tells us at the Last Supper, and he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for remembrance of me. Should sound incredibly familiar. It comes from Luke 22:19, or more or less Matthew 26:26, Mark 14:22, or 1 Corinthians 11:24. Each of them phrases it slightly differently, but more or less the same. Then we could go to, then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Matthew 26:27-28, or Mark 14:24, Luke 22:20, and 1 Corinthians 11:25. What makes you think that this solves the issue? Well, it would be really horrible if, well, first off, he said, this is it. All right? There's nothing, you know, no wink and a nod. This is my blood. Get it? He said, this is my body. This is my blood. Actually, it's really funny. There was a meeting of Protestant reformers during the height of the Reformation when I believe Calvin, Luther, and Zwingli were at this big conference, and they were arguing about the nature of the Eucharist, and they were going back and forth and saying that it wasn't the real presence, and it was a memorial meal, and of all people, Martin Luther got absolutely outraged, and he just sat there and just kept pounding his fist on the table, saying, hoc est enim corpus meum, hoc est enim corpus meum, which is Latin for, this is my body. That's what he said, this is my body. There was no metaphorically, no figuratively. If Jesus Christ said, this is my body, then so be it. It's my body. I don't understand how he said, storm, be calmed, and it was. I don't understand how he said, water, be turned into wine, and it was. I don't understand how he said, Lazarus, come out, and he did. That's the nature of miracles. I don't have to understand them. I just believe that they happened. I don't understand how he said, this is my body, and it was. But I know, as surely as I know anything else, that it was. And I believe, as surely as I believe anything else, that that miracle continues today in the miracle of the altar. Because I believe that the Holy Spirit still works in each of our lives. And I've said it before in this Bible study. When the priest stands up there and prays that the Holy Spirit descend upon these gifts and make them the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It is a miracle. And those pieces of bread and that cup of wine becomes the Holy Eucharist, the body and blood of Jesus. I don't know how, and that's because it's a miracle. And we do this all the time because this is our Passover. Christ is our Passover who has been sacrificed for us, and we keep the feast because as often as we do it. We proclaim his death and his resurrection until he comes again. And this is another one of those things that we talked about last week. This is our mezuzah. This is our sign that we bind before our eyes and on our gates and on our frontlets. This is what we do. Because this is something that we teach our children, that we talk about, that we go in and out when we wake, when we sleep, when we get up, when we lie down. Because this is absolutely vital to who we are. Because this is just essential to our worship. Because as we talk about exchanging our lives, we can do it anywhere. We can have a dialogue with God. We can communicate with God anywhere. But when we really talk about exchanging traditionally, historically, it happened at the altar. You went and you gave God your goat, and he forgave your sins. You gave him your lamb, and he passed over you. Well, Christ was that Passover. And now, when we go to the altar, we give him ourselves. We offer him our hearts. And he takes our hearts, he takes our brokenness, and he gives us his divinity. And that is absolutely worth celebrating. That's what we have that people need. They have brokenness, and he has wholeness. They have uncleanness, and he has holiness. And we have the place to make the trade. And that's what we have that people need. And that's why this place is so amazing. That's why Church of the Messiah has something that nobody else in town has. That's why I could never go anywhere else in town. That's why I want everybody coming here. Because I think that everybody needs to have what we have. And I would love to see people packed out of here 3, 4, 5 times a weekend. Because I think when people really get a hold of what we have, it'd be absolutely life-changing for hundreds of people, if not the whole city. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for what you've done for us. And Lord, we're not talking about the handful of people that you have here or that you've got gathered in Jacksonville or even that you've got at Church of the Messiah. We're talking about humanity. We thank you for what you've done to creation. Lord, we thank you for making creation. Lord, we know that, Lord, in the beginning there was nothing, and you spoke and everything came into being. And Lord, we know that you made all things. Without you, nothing that was made was made. So, Lord, we thank you for everything that is made. And we know that every good gift comes from you, Father. So we praise you for every good gift that we have. And, Lord, we praise you and we bless you. And we magnify your name. We pour out your grace upon each and every one of the people here. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you. And Lord, we just take a moment and praise you. Each and every one of us on our own, just thank you.